KCHCMQ, KCHCMQ, and 8PWF. KCHCMQ, KCHCMQ, and 8PWM. You're on, John. KCHCMQ and APWM. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning. And Siri just come in and woke me up and said, hey, thanks, caller for you. I said, well, go answer him. Well, I don't know how.
Well, you succeeded. You got me. So good morning to Siri as well. Checking out the EchoLink connection. You had said it was down, but it appears that Cameron did some magic and it seems to be working.
Oh, well, guess what? I'm not even on EchoLink. I'm not even on HT. I'm on my base. I came in here and I figured, well, I wasn't sure if it was working or not, so I wasn't going to try to run around in the house trying to find a hot spot, so I just turned the big one on.
Well, it's doing the job. It sounds really good. It's got a nice signal. So, anyway, you going to be up at the market today?
No, we're supposed to be getting our roof done today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's always a fun project. People walking around on your roof and throwing things off the roof and putting new stuff on. That's always fun. We had ours done, oh, gosh, must have been 6-7 years ago when a tree fell through it. And the insurance redid the roof for us, whole thing. Did a good job. My stepson worked for a roofing company, and the boys all came up here and stayed at the cabin, and they worked, they just took their time. They worked through the whole week. It was in the winter, so they only worked, short periods at a time, come in and warm up. And we provided all the food and refreshments for the entire week. It was almost like a vacation. So, and we knew all the guys anyway, so it was kind of fun.
Well, Now this guy brought a trailer here the other day and said if they can get out here today, they'll start working on it, if not Monday. So I got to stick around here for a little bit and see what happens. If he don't show up today, then he won't be coming until Monday. But, I'm on EchoLink now, so there you go. I figured I'd kick it over and see what would happen. KCHCMQ, I should use that call sign.
Yeah, probably a good idea. No, it sounds good. It's a little more muffled, probably just because of the phone microphone, but it still sounds good. It's working fine. So that's good to know. All right, John. Well, just want to say good morning and see how things are working there. So good luck today with the roof, and we'll be around today. Got some stuff to do. I think Harold wants to come over for a little while and work on his stuff for chapter. But I think that's all we got going today. Just going to try and keep out of trouble. So we'll say 7-3, let's tie the ribbons on it, and we'll chat with you later. KCHCMQ and 8PWM.
Hi, okay. Well, yeah, I'm on my phone, so maybe I was just too close. Don't forget, I got a tree out here to say goodbye to you, too. KCHCM Anarchy, we'll let you go.
7-3, John. NAPWM, clear and listen.
AV9NN mobile monitoring.
AV9NN, KV8SVJ.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good. Beautiful morning. Beautiful morning. Hey, I'm out here working this bike event, bike tour. There's going to be a ton of bikes on the road. Just ask you to keep an eye out for them, please.
Okay, very good. Are you guys using cell phones or ham radios?
No, we got 800 megahertz sheriff radio.
Oh, okay, that works. Okay, have a good event.
Okay, tell everybody at bar breakfast I said hi. Eat an egg for me.
I'll have a double portion, AV9NN mobile, be monitoring.
Okay, take care, John. AV8SVJ.
KVA-FJW from KC at HHC. FJW from KC at HHC. Negative contact KC at HHC, clear monitoring. FJW from KC at HHC.
KE8FJW here.
How do you read me? I'm in Petoskey right now, just on the outskirts.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later. I'll be on the radio all day if you get a hold of me. KC8FJW from KC8HHT.
All right, well, have fun shopping in Petoskey, KE8FJW.
You know, KC8HHT, I'm actually going to get rid of, thank you for a few days.
going to head downtown. I think they're doing garage sale stuff.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, we'll try. KE8FTW.
KBCW.
You're making some headway on the home front there, man. Sounds like it was the gift that kept on giving for a while here.
Oh, it still is. I already filled one 10-yard dumpster, and I could use two more, but I have some other alternatives trying to save me some money. See how that works out. It's a nice day. I really should be outside. Instead, I'm sitting here on the computer and on the radio. I'm going to motivate myself to get out there quickly.
Yeah, I was out this morning. My wife was planting flowers. I got the irrigation system up and running and got some hoses and all that kind of stuff out. I think it's finally safe to do that sort of thing. So, yeah, we're getting ready for the summer.
Dan's out buying vegetables, buying tomatoes to plant and stuff. We got a couple of raised boxes that need some attention. And they didn't, the frame, the wooden, the frames didn't weather the storm too well, but we're going to just jerry them back together and use them for the summer and then worry about it next year. We got probably $200 worth of dairy do in them, so we're gonna just try to make them work.
That's cool. What did you have to fill up the dumpsters with? Just material from beneath your house? Destroyed equipment like your well pump? Did you lose furniture and carpeting and things like that too?
Well, this was all out of the outbuilding. I had a big, probably a 10 by 15 or 10 by 18 shed that had building material in it. I had some rolled up fiberglass insulation. That all got literally soaked. It was underwater. It was so heavy, Bentley, that one roll of it
It took two of us to lift the one roll up and just throw it in the open top, and we probably had six of those. And I had a couple of older lawnmowers that I had intended on fixing, but they were completely submerged, so they went. Basically just outdoor stuff, yard equipment, stuff like that. The shed and my detached garage got it the worst, and that's where most of that stuff came from. And again, I'm far from done.
Oh man, what a mess. Sorry to hear all of that, but I guess this too shall pass. You'll get it back and tight it up at some point.
Oh, sorry. Forced our hand on doing some stuff that was overdue, which is good. And that shed itself, kind of an eyesore. We're probably willing to give it away, and if we can't give it away, because it's big to move, you know, it is. It's big to move. But somebody could if they really wanted to, you know, if they had a big enough flatbed. Or I suppose you could cut it in half and then reassemble it. But it has no floor. It's just four sides and a roof. But it's pretty big. And it's pretty heavy. I don't really know how you would do that. But worst case, it ends up in the fire pit. So finally, well, that's not even true. I was going to say finally, I have 100% of the surface area of the lot back, but that's not true. While 100% of the seawall is now exposed, I would say half of it probably has a foot or two of water on the lawn on the land side. So that's probably going to take quite a while to soak in.
Good grief, where is all this water coming from and why is it not going anywhere? You know, the county pumped out that low spot on M-119 just north of Vernale's restaurant, if you know where that is, and that little dip right there. Water had been across the road for weeks after it stopped raining and just wasn't draining away. They closed it down one night and pumped it dry, and there's still water across the bike path but not across the road any longer, and it's just not receding. I don't understand what's going on with the, you know, with the aquifer. Is it still just saturated and can't take any more of the water? And how long is this water going to stay around? It's unusual.
I think that's exactly it. I think the water table is just so high. You know, I was trying to mow, and the grass is going crazy, you know, from all the moisture. And now that there's some sunshine, you know, so the lawn, I mean, it you can see it grow. It grows overnight. So there have been a couple times on the spots that have been the driest now where I've mowed, you know, every couple of days just to keep up with it. But there's other spots that weren't dry enough, and I actually did some damage to the turf by driving the tractor over it, and I got the tractor stuck once, because I pushed the envelope a little too far, and I had to get out a super long chain and hook it up to the truck and pull it out. So, yeah, it's and the levels, the water levels, with all the rain, you know, I saw progress, and then I saw that progress, you know, return or get, you know, kind of refunded, and then some. Because we had two or three straight days of rain, you know. My crawl space is better. It's gaining, I'd say maybe 6 inches now overnight. And then it just sort of stays, and if I don't pump it, it doesn't get any worse. But it's refilling every day still, only now it's 6 inches instead of 3 feet.
Wow. You know, and it's not just here either. I was down in Grayling visiting a buddy of mine earlier in the week, and we were sitting on the bank of the North Branch, kicking back and, you know, smoking a cigar and drinking a little spot of bourbon, and I couldn't believe how high the river spill was, and they haven't had rain down there in, I think, a couple of weeks. So it's just crazy that this water doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It doesn't compute to me.
Well, what annoys me is that they, because we're at about 20 inches below the top of the dam in Sheboygan, they gave up on all of the extra efforts. They turned off the extra pumps, and they've since removed them. They've put the gates back in. I don't know what the status is on the hydro. I don't believe it's running again. They shut it down to change a bearing, and it was only supposed to be down for a day, and then it was over the weekend, and now I haven't heard anything that it's back running, but... there are many places still underwater. If you're on 68 right there coming into Atlanta where you go over the bridge that goes over the Crooked River, all of those docks on both sides of the street, north and south of 68, those docks are still underwater. I mean, by about a foot, you can see it when the sun shines. You know, you can't really put boats in because, you know, you're going to get wet coming and going to them. The original estimate of, you know, gaining an inch and a half a day, you know, takes you a month to gain a foot, and even that doesn't seem to be holding. So, I mean, it's going to be 4th of July weekend before things resemble normal. You know, Burt Lake State Park opened on the 15th, and the campground was only about a quarter open. So the holiday weekend, they were almost full. I wouldn't say completely full, but almost full. And the park's in good shape. But you have no more beach. It doesn't exist because it's underwater. The boat launches are not open. Most municipal and public launches are not open, even though the lakes and the rivers are all completely open. I think Crooked River is still no wake, and the lakes are supposed to be no wake, but, you know, nobody's going to enforce that. It's just a weird summer. No matter what happens from here on, it's going to be a weird summer. And I did feel kind of bad for some of the people at the state park because there were at least 20 people with boats on trailers. And, you know, what are they going to do with them? Where are they going to go?
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, is there not some commitment that DNR or whomever might have to get those folks to get access back to their docks and reclaim their property from the high water? I mean, what's the problem? Are they afraid that they're going to, you know, overfill Lake Huron? Good grief.
I think the mitigation efforts ended too soon. I mean, we're in a lot better shape than we were. You know, I mean, we've probably gained 3 feet. I can tell that because, you know, there are bridges and overpasses and whatnot where you can... you know, the water was up to the bottom of the bridge, to the bottom of the road, and now there's, you know, 2 or 3 feet of clearance. But the river here is still at least a foot higher than it should be. And, you know, it's at least a foot higher most places, because otherwise those docks would no longer be submerged, you know. And people with houses on the south shore of the Sturgeon River, they're not drained yet. They're not self-draining yet. I've got 3 houses here up the road from me that the water was still up to the sill plates. So, you know, we're going in the right direction, but definitely not a quick process. And, you know, in a way, these governmental entities have behaved to where they're not finger-pointing. Yet at the end of the day, I don't really see anybody stepping up and going, yeah, it was our fault. Yeah, we could have done better. Because I think everybody could have. There's plenty of blame to go around. W-H-R.
K-8-B-C-W. Well, I mean, I guess I'm looking into the future here, the very near future, you know, the next holiday weekend that comes up. You know, you mentioned people had their boats on trailers at the park because they couldn't put them in. How long is that going to go on? And, you know, what's that going to do to the tourism that we depend on and the commerce that's going to be lost with people not boating on the lakes and visiting the Hoppy's restaurants or the marinas to get fuel? just it does not make any sense to me why they would have stopped with the mitigation efforts. Just, okay, we're out of danger, that's good enough, and I don't understand that.
Same questions, and that really does seem to be the attitude. I will find myself in a situation a couple times next month, this coming month, where I'll be in the same room with some of these people, so I'm going to ask these questions, you know. I'm absolutely going to ask these questions. There is a lot of discussion about things, which is good. But again, you know, are we really to the phase of where we can just take a breath and sit back and relax? And I can probably point to 100 houses and 100 homeowners that say no. You know, you raise an interesting point about the marinas. You know, I pay for a well in a marina, and that season is April to October. And the marina's not open yet, and the boats aren't in, they're not unwinterized. You can't charge me for a full season. You know, you're going to have to prorate that based on when you open up. It's going to be a huge economic hit to these places, and, you know, a lot of them were struggling anyway. Now, granted, town is super busy. Town is normal for summer, but the boat's not in the water. It's not getting used. You're not buying gas. You're not buying licenses. You know, all this stuff. And the trickle-down effect of this, it's not until these people, you know, end their fiscal year and do their taxes that we're going to realize what that impact is.
Yeah, well, you can ask the questions, but it seems more and more these days that the people that are supposed to answer them don't care. And, you know, just shut up and keep paying your taxes. We've got this handled, and we'll take care of it the way we see fit. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm not the kind of guy to really accept those answers. But, again, there's this, and I think we've had this discussion before, you know, there's this thing called municipal immunity. And municipal immunity means that you can't sue the county, you can't sue the state, you can't sue the feds. But you can sue the guy that owns the hydro, at least until he declares bankruptcy, which you know is coming. You know, he's already put all the entities on notice that he plans on shutting that thing down. And, you know, he didn't maintain it anyway. I don't know who's going to pay those bills, but Consumers Energy is the one that got it running again. And they brought in the private contractors that built it and were, you know, knowledgeable in maintaining it, and that's how they got it back running. But, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to take eminent domain and, you know, nationalize the thing and take it and keep it running because we need that 40% capacity, you know? I don't know. I don't know those answers, but, you know, that's sort of the problem with elected officials is, you know, they're more concerned with getting reelected than they are with doing the job while they're in office. So some of the guys at the county are pretty conscientious, and a few people at the DNR, I think, are conscientious, but right now the DNR's got such an absolutely horrible, horrible reputation on all fronts. The dams, the wildlife management, you know, the conservation efforts. It's just, I'm really looking forward to a new governor just gutting the DNR and starting over.
Yeah, I hear you there, although I don't know all the details about what they're doing and what they're being criticized for, but I can think of a few of them. And I know that one of the responses of regular people is to just ignore them. And, you know, that's not the desired result if you're laying down the law and, you know, not doing it in a way that's cooperative or that people can understand makes sense. And I'll say Exhibit A is the deer herd in Michigan and the way that deer hunters feel about the way they've been managing it and some of the just really draconian rules that they've handed down on hunters. People are sick of it, and you know, I just don't see any respite from it.
you know, you should know me by now. There's really nobody more pro-law enforcement than me. But the whole attitude from the way it's taught in the academy to the way it's administered on the street and in the fields, the MSP is not somebody to be revered like it used to be. And the COs, they're their own worst enemy in the way they treat people. Now, there are some horrendous conservation law violators, poachers, and over-limit people with fish and, you know, all this stuff. And there's a big, what's the word? You know, there's a lot of people that have really got a chip on their shoulder over the alleged perceived abuse of all the tribal stuff, that anybody that's tribal can do what they want, when they want, for as much as they want, and it's about true. It's pretty much a true statement, although I don't have a lot of heartburn over it, over the way the Native Americans have been treated for the last 400 years, and how we violated every treaty we've ever had. But, you know, when you've got a guy that's gill netting and, you know, basically decimating the recreational fishery, I understand how they feel that way. But the bottom line is, you know, my attitude on the dealing with the public, you know, you actually work for them. They're not subservient to you. And I think that COs and MSP in general sort of need a refresher course on that. And I say that having a lot of friends that are troopers.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's something to be said for your local sheriff that's elected and is part of your community and is beholden to the people that he or she is, you know, sworn to protect and serve. Got a lot of respect for those folks and the job that they do, particularly in your county where I have a friend who's a deputy there, and some of the stories I hear about the things that happen in that county are quite amazing to me. But all you got to do is, you know, go back in time about 4, 5, 6 years, and you see what the MSP did as the enforcement arm of the governor's policies, and that told me everything I needed to know about them.
Yeah, well, there were some elected sheriffs too. You know, some guys like Mike Bouchard, you know, they started out a little heavy-handed, and then they saw the light and backed off. I think James Craig in Detroit did a pretty good job with that. You know, same thing. Came out a little heavy-handed, and as it continued, and they just piled on, he's like, all right, enough of this, you know. We'll go with the health department to ensure their safety, but we're not getting involved in any enforcement. So it took a while, though. You know, citing people for cutting hair on the White House, on the Capitol lawn, the mess that Ian Murphy had with the barbecue place there in Gaylord, the Carl the Barber in Owosso. You know, I went out of my way to patronize all these during all of that because none of that stuff was constitutional, and now we know it, and now the courts have agreed, so. And what was the, you know, I don't want to get too political here. I don't own this repeater. I forget. But, you know, what was the governor's reward for killing 9,000 people is a second term. But anyway, enough of that. You know, I have no problem doing this when it's my call sign on the repeater. But when it's not, you know, I try to temper my comments.
Yeah, totally understood. Yeah, don't want to go in that direction, but... Yeah, so I'm glad that you're making some headway there. I hope that things get back to normal for you, whatever that new normal might be. And, so you wanted a place on the river, huh?
Funny. You know, buy a house on the water, they said, you know. Waterfront property is desirable, they said. You know, yeah, okay. I mean, it's been good for the last 100 years, you know, so maybe we're okay for the next 100. I don't know. Something like we've never seen before, though. Nobody else here has ever seen it either. So, and again, I mean, there's not a lot of upside. The only real upside is the fact that it's forced motivation to make some changes and do some upgrades and stuff. So, all right, good hearing you, Bentley. I'll talk to you again soon. I'm going to go do camper stuff. I'll be around. W-8-R-P-M.
Have a good weekend, Ron. We'll catch you later. K-8-B-C-W.
Hey, Ron. Just saying a quick hello. W-2-P-K.
Hello, are you still north?
Yep. Yeah, we are still north. We're heading back, and probably early Monday morning. It's not out of the possibility we could head back tomorrow, but probably first thing Monday.
Good. I've got my two MaxTrack mobiles that function as the node. I got them both sitting here. They both just need power supply issues, you know, the fact that we're powering the Pi from the rig and those power cables got screwed up, so I got them sitting on a bench here in front of me to fix. I got to make some decisions about how I'm going to mount things in the camper, but I do want some input on that stuff. You know, I have a ladder now, so I got a lot of antenna mounting options. I'm even thinking about mounting the external tuner for the HF rig on one of the rails on the ladder, just kind of mounting it there semi-permanently, and then just attaching the feed, the radiating element to it as we move around. So, anyhow, all right, enjoy the weather. Be productive, W8RPM.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous out. I'm in the shed right now, the workshop, doing spring cleaning and further reorganizing and whatnot. Inside with the door closed because, oh, my God, the mosquitoes are ridiculous. You can tell it was a very wet spring. But yeah, having a ladder on the camper to mount antennas to definitely it helps. It opens up options. All right, hey, we'll catch you later, Ron. I'll be listening here. W2PUT in Akiak.
I spent almost $200 on electronic bug killers yesterday. I've had enough bringing out the big guns. W8RPM. Yeah.
Good afternoon, KEAFTW monitoring. Thank you. KEAFTW monitoring.
KE8AGL, Kilo Echo 8, Alpha Golf Lima.
This is KF8FUF. Name is Pat. Am I coming out to the repeater okay?
Yeah, Pat, you're sounding pretty good. This name is Jay here, KE8AGL. I'm up near the Petoskey repeater. Yeah, you sound pretty good. How about me?
Down in Hitchin. This is new Balfane. I just picked up and programmed this repeater in.
Yeah, roger that. I also use Balfangs. I'm a cheap and dirty ham. Yeah, you sounded just fine. What version you got there?
This is the UV-17R. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think I got something similar, but it also has DMR capability, which I don't really use, but I have it. You know, these cheap little radios are just fine for a lot of stuff. I am finding I'd like some more power, though.
Yeah, I got a mobile radio in my truck. So, if I need power, I got that. But I just wanted a, you know, a little kicker radio. I have this, and then I have another, Yaesu HD. And the radio, I guess, is a quad band Yaesu.
Yeah, roger that. Where are you approximately, and what repeater are you using, you think?
Location is in Fairview, Michigan, and I'm using the Mio repeater.
That Mio repeater is linked up to IRA all the time, or is this, or you get in through, like, All-Star or something?
So the Mio repeater is about 6 miles away from me, and it is linked. It's linked to the Northern Michigan repeater. So, like the whole upper thumb, I believe.
Oh yeah, okay. Oh, maybe this Petoskey repeater isn't linked to the IRA repeater. I kind of forgot when I was programming them. Okay, yeah, cool. Well, I was talking to some dude from Sault Ste. Marie.
I think I might have lost you, Jim. There's a lot of bacon on your side and just a bunch of in and out.
Yeah, I think that might have been a third station. You got me now?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, hey, other station, we can't really hear you, but we'd like to talk to you if you can get it in there. This is Kilo Echo 8 Alpha Golf Lima. Name is Jay. And, yeah, Pat, good talking with you. I'm glad to catch you on the horn here. You do any other ham stuff or mostly a two-meter guy?
Just got my license a couple of months ago. So, you know, just hitting repeaters, 2 meters and 70 centimeter, and, you know, that's about it. Yeah, what about yourself?
Yeah, I've had my technicians for almost a decade now. I keep thinking about upgrading, but I don't. And, yeah, man, you know, overwhelmingly I'm using 2-meter repeaters. When I travel, I'll look ahead and program repeaters into my radio. Probably one of the better things in Michigan is the W8IRA repeater system. It goes all the way up 131, Cadillac, Big Rapids, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, and then across 94 to all the way over there to Ann Arbor. You can talk to people from all over the place with a little handy talkie and being in the right spot.
What's that, W8IRA?
Yeah, I think, or maybe it's just, yeah, it's the IRA repeater system. I think it's W8IRA. That sounds familiar to me. But again, I'm driving, so I can't look real quick. Yeah, dude, it's really nice and fun. You know, I get on and, you know, like I say, most nights you can talk to somebody from pretty far away from you. I'm not really sure where Mayo's located. But there's a couple repeaters linked up and around the upper mitten here. If you look at the website, you'll get more information.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I had stumbled on it yesterday driving north. I had the generator going and I had some traffic. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, lots of repeater noise there. I don't know if I've moved to a bad position or, again, if there's a third station trying to get in.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe someone trying to hit us and it's just not close enough. Make sure your radio's tuned, I guess, and maybe try to get a little closer to the repeater. There's something definitely trying to get in.
Yeah, just some Roger beep over and over again. Yeah, Pat, I don't know if anybody else is getting in here. I'm going to stand on the side here and monitor while I drive into Charlevoix. I'll be quiet on your final. Kilo, Echo 8, Alpha Golf Lima, K8, HEL, 73, friend.
KE8FJW, I'm monitoring.
KE8FJW, monitoring. KE8AGL, Kilo Echo 8, Alpha Golf, Lima. Thank you.